All right, we're reading from Hebrews chapter 11, starting at verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You know, every person is looking for the kingdom. Every person. I don't care what religion they're part of. I don't care where they are. They're all looking for the kingdom. Remember what he said? The kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Everybody's looking to be right in the eyes of God. Everybody's looking for peace in their life. Everybody's looking for some joy. If I can get some joy out of this life we're passing through. Look what it says here, starting in verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. You know, one of the things that you could say faith is advanced knowledge. Faith is advanced knowledge. That is very important because advanced knowledge takes a tension out of your life. When you know what's coming, when you know what's going to happen tomorrow, when you know what's coming in a certain circumstance that you're involved in and so forth, I'm telling you, it can take the tension out of it. You know, I was playing tennis last night with a group, and I didn't come out too well. Let's just say it like that. And but I had just come off the mission field, praise the Lord. And you got to blame something. I mean, we just can't accept defeat and just... But I just saw this thing. I just, you know, there's some things that I in putting together, I got to, you know, well, I don't know what I was about to say. But anyway, this life of faith is advanced knowledge. If you know how you're going to come out and so forth like that, it takes a lot of the tension off of where you are right now. And you know what's going to come out. So what happened in the Old Testament, many times the prophets would tell them what's going to happen. Prophets say, you can go up, and one prophet say, hey, you can go up in this section, and when you praise the Lord, he's going to, you know, defeat your enemies for you and so forth like that. I think David could just see. He was a seer, of course. But he could go up. He could go up to battle. He knew. He had asked God. He said, shall I go up or should I stay here? He said, go up, and you shall overcome. And boom, he's gone. So it brought faith. And when you can see things, it brings faith in your life. And so that's what you want, because faith is what it takes to move the hand of God. And if you want the supernatural in your life, you're going to have faith. All right. I put down in my notes also, God never responds to anything but faith. Faith in something. Faith in the blood, faith in the mercy of God, faith in his word, faith in his name, faith in whatever it is. But faith is needed to have God to respond to your situation, and or somebody has to have some faith, or that to overcome the world, to overcome the opposition that's against you. And faith always declares the outcome before the fight even starts. Faith always says what it's going to do before it enters into what it does. So a faith battle is necessary, of course, just about in any time to get to any place that's advancing the kingdom. You're going to have to battle, because the devil just doesn't walk away and just give you the land. You got to fight for it. And you fight the good fight of what? Faith. Okay? So your faith never rises above your confession. So I want to work with that tonight. Your faith never rises above your confession. So whatever level of confession you're confessing right now, no matter how bad your situation is, faith will never rise above it. And so you have to keep that. All right. So I put here, confession builds the road over which faith hauls your cargo. Confession builds the road over which your faith hauls your cargo. All right. Now, this is going to be interesting here tonight. Let's go over to Romans. In Romans 1, chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Are you there? So praise the Lord. Verse 1, I'll start there. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he has whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt, obligation. And God's not going to owe you or anybody else. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So it says here that what is it that Abraham found out pertaining to the flesh has found? And he found out how basically to conduct himself so that God will treat him just like he never sinned. That's what he found out. And that belief in God was counted to him for righteousness. Now, you and I are the righteousness of God, but he was counted righteous, meaning that he wasn't the righteousness of God in reality. God conferred upon him the righteousness, meaning that he didn't have the righteous nature in him, but God treated him as he was righteous. And he did it because he believed God. Now, let's deal with this. Well, I thought I heard some music too playing when you turned those lights up. A harp or something. Okay. The Bible says, ask and you shall be given, and seek and you shall find, and threaten to fire somebody and the light will come on. It says that. That's what it says. Okay, no, I just misquoting there. Okay, now. No, they're good people. Praise the Lord. All right. Let's deal with this. I want to take my time and kind of go through this. I'm going to finish on time. Believing, which is very, very important in terms of using your faith. We're talking about the life of faith. And we've taken as a person who we're looking at his particular life is this man, Abraham. Now, it says Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, believing and faith are two different things. They're not the same thing. And we said there are two sides of the same coin. I don't have a coin on me now, but you have a heads and a tail. If you have a coin with two heads, it's called counterfeit. And it's really legal, not legal tender. So it can't make the exchange for you. And faith is your international currency. It'll spend in any country, anytime. And here, in Romans chapter 10, he said in verse 8, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. So remember when they came back from spying out the land of Canaan in Numbers chapter 13, some of them brought what kind of report? An evil report. Now they said they describe things that are in the land of Canaan, but they described them based on their sense knowledge and not based on faith in God's word. You with me? And so most of what you hear on the news or on television or in the media is describing things based on sense knowledge. See, and so people, or we had been, conditioned to believe that. But here it says the word of faith which we preach. So the two that described it differently were preaching the word of faith. They were preaching things that they saw looking through the promises of God, looking according to their faith in God's word and what he said about them. He said that I have given you that land. He didn't say you're going to get in there and get stumped on. He said, I have given you that land. Didn't he say that? All right. Now, I said that you never rise any higher than you're willing to confess. So confession becomes a law that will hold people in a place or circumstance according to what they're saying, because God cannot go any further than you're willing to confess. And over here it says, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, or that Jesus is Lord, and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now that's a formula that can be used right across the board, not only just for salvation. Verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. All right, now, glory to God. We want to clear the way for your faith, because he's saying over here in Romans 10, that verse 6, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? What saith a person who is walking by faith in this righteousness? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, that's what you speak with, and in thy what? Heart. All right. Confession is key, because it's through it. Let me just get my notes out here. Oh, this is good stuff, man. When you say you believe something, what believing is having. Believing is having. It says it's mine. When I believe something, I become one with it. I believe the word. Well, if I believe the word, then this word has become one with me. I mean, this is what I do. And people will do what they believe. I used to tell my wife, if somebody believes and doesn't do, that's because they don't believe. Somebody's fooling themselves. Now, believing is not all you do, because you can believe and I'm one with it, but you've got to act on what you believe. And of course, Jesus is our example for all of that. Let's go back here again. Let's take a trip. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 9, please. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9. Did Mary believe that what the angel said about her having a baby and she'd never had a man, did she believe that?
Yes.
Did she act on it?
Yes.
All right. Verse 27. And when Jesus departed then, two blind men followed him, crying, saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was coming to the house, a blind man came to him, and Jesus said to them, Believe ye that I'm able to do this? All right, there it is. And they said to him, what? Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes and said, According to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened. Jesus straightly charged them, saying, that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all the country. Now, how do I affect my believing? How do I believe something that I didn't believe before? Let's go to Mark chapter 5, please. Mark chapter 5. I want to know how. Now, remember now, faith is so powerful that faith will do anything. I mean, anything that you need done, faith will do. I said, anything that you need done, faith will do.
I said, faith will do it. Faith will pay your rent. Faith will pay your car note. Faith will heal your body. Faith will bring your marriage back together. Faith will, y'all didn't get much amens on that. Faith will bring, but anyway, now understand that this, I'm just letting you know that the problem is not with God. So something has been ripping off people's faith. And I want to try to investigate that, because I with my wife and I talking, God, you speak to me about this whole idea of faith and growth and increase and so forth. And he said, son, get the hindrances out and the thing will grow like wildfire. See, it's almost like I had the right combination of things, a formula, whatever have you, but some hindrances were in there. And if I could just get these hindrances out of here, this thing will expand. So I think that's what's been in people's lives have been some hindrances. And the hindrances of unbelief, hindrances of some doubt, hindrances of some fears. And these, and when I talk about fears now, I'm not talking about something that you know that is there. I'm talking about something that you don't know that is there. Let me see something. I put something down here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's see. Where did I put it now? I think I know where I put it. Yeah. Fear, I'm getting ahead of myself, but that's okay. Y'all don't mind. Fear is a very, very interesting thing. I think I've got it in my other book there, but I'm not going to go through it because it's powerful. Because you can't feel fear. You just see the results of it. And fear tolerated is faith contaminated. You know, if your faith isn't doing something, maybe it got contaminated and it's lost its potency. Are you following what I'm saying? So now I need to purge my faith. I need to get whatever's hindering my faith out of my faith. So my faith is pure and it can do exactly what it's supposed to do. Now, what I said to you just now was that faith, I don't know why I went to Maine and I'm all over the place. Let me just do what I can do. Praise God. And you just pick it up where you need to come in at. Hallelujah. Okay. Okay, I'm talking about developing your faith because you got to get unbelief out. Unbelief is not believing nothing. What is unbelief? It's believing something that God did not say. Now, let me just take my time now. I didn't go over this yet because it's fresh, but I want to give it to you. You believe something. And you go to where or what you believe. That's where you end up. You end up with what you believe. I wrote this down, so I'm gonna stay right here until it manifests. Okay. We talk weakness, failure. People talk sickness. Why? Because we believe in it. We believe in it. You got to get this. You got to get this. See, the idea about it is none of that was in Adam. But once he fell, and over time,
The image of all of that being stronger and more powerful than what man had the ability to resist came into us. And so, for example, when the flu came around, I always would say, man, I'm telling you, I got to get a flu shot before I catch this flu. Because I believe in it. I believed in the flu. This one man said, man told him, said he sneezed. And they said, hey, it looked like you catching the flu. He said, no, I'm not, because I don't believe in it. Now, this is very important for you. See? And the word of faith is designed to create a new belief system where you don't believe in it. See, I'm trying to get myself not to believe in certain things. So I'm trying to keep those things from me having to watch them all the time for those things to come in me. I don't want to believe in those things. I want to believe in that. I want to believe what he said, by his stripes I'm healed. I want to believe that I lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I want to believe that even if the plague comes, it won't come nigh me. See, so I don't need to watch. See, because you see that and you just think it's something you see. I was reading this man's book. He was talking about discernment. He said, do you realize that some movies in the theater are designed to take away your discernment? They're designed for it. They're designed to neutralize you as far as discerning things. And you got to discern things because many things, most things, God cannot put up in the natural because Satan will send his people there to see it and snatch it. So he's got to have it discern it so that you can catch it only by discernment. There are problems that come in your life that the only way you can get out of them is to discern the exit. That there are very few problems that come in your life that the answer to those problems is blatant and very clear and right out there. Very, very, very few. Maybe 2%. Are y'all with me? But he always leaves a way out. But it's got a key, and you got to find that key. That key will unlock that door. He said, I've given you what? The keys to the kingdom. See, it came right after binding and loosing.
Yes, that's right.
That's why he says, any of you like wisdom? He wasn't talking to just anybody. He was talking to those who are being hit with temptation. Something's coming in your life. You're trying to figure out how you're getting ripped off. You can't figure it out in the natural. If you can figure the devil out in the natural, you can conquer the devil without even being saved. You can't defeat the devil on a natural basis. You got to exercise supernatural ability. That's why the church is the world's only answer, because it's the only one that can subdue the enemy. The world can't do nothing about the devil. They can't even catch him. I dare you to get somebody, and I'm not asking you to do this, but somebody who's a magician and doing some things, I dare you to catch him. They'll stand right in front of you and do it. Do a little rabbit come up out of the hat. You say, well, let's just do it again. And do it again. You just stand up there and do it all day, catch it. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm not trying to minimize you, but he said over in Deuteronomy chapter 7, hey, they're going to be the Perizzites, the Hittites, the Hivites, and so forth, much mightier than you are. For you to do and deal with the devil, you're going to have to come up into the world of the invisible. And that's where faith functions. You got what I'm saying? You can find the exit by faith. You can find your solution by faith. Abraham had to find out where God wanted to send him by faith. Because in the natural, he looked at it and said, I ain't staying here, I'm gone. And he went on down to Egypt. I had to find out where God wanted us to go when we first came in this city by faith. And I ended up at Lake and Pulaski. And there was, brother, it was Dodge City down there when I went down there. I mean, it's better now, but it was rough down there. And we had to do that by faith. Are you here? So this is very, very important. Now, the only thing I'm saying to you is this thing is, when we're talking about things stealing and trying to zap your faith, because he knows without faith, you can't defeat him. You can't overcome him. And then you're going to have to hear the word of faith. You're going to have, not a word of the senses. Because one of the things that's been trying to rule the church is the intellectuals. I'm gonna call it just like it is. The intellectuals. You see, I don't care how many degrees you got. Thank God for degrees. But you can't defeat the devil with a degree. How are you going to defeat the devil with a degree? He's controlling half the courses in the school. See, Babylon, the Babylonian system of the devil, can only function with God out of it. So he's got to get God out of the university. Well, once he gets God out of the university, the only thing is left is secularism. That's all that's left. And so what we got to do is get God back in there, or get God's peace in there, which is the church here. People got an education, but I'm coming in now, I'm giving you a spiritual education. Amen. Give you a good lesson in the course of spiritology. Hallelujah. All right, now, what am I saying? I want to change that belief system, because belief is having. Belief is owning. But when I believe something, I become one with it. And so now I've got to change that. And so this woman had an image inside of her, but the image that she had was growing worse. I'm not saying the image was growing worse. The image itself was grow worse. And the grow worse image produces a grow worse environment. And so people, she was growing worse and worse. And the doctors kept saying, I can't do anything for you. But she heard about Jesus and she began to say something. Now that's the same as meditation. Because meditation brings with it visualization. And so I start meditating. You start meditating this thing. Now, what you're finding here is that most of what Jesus did came through the spoken words. Came through spoken words. And so as he spoke things, things happened. Or as he had people to speak things, things would happen in their lives. Lord have mercy. Are y'all still here with me? Okay. Boy, this thing is, y'all hang on, because I've got something here and I want to get it out. All right, now, her faith made her whole. And faith comes by what?
Hearing.
And hearing by the word of God. Now, this turn over to Colossians, if you will, and chapter... Chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. How are you there? Verse 8, beware lest any spoiled man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. After the what? Tradition of men. After the rudiments of the world.
and not after who? Christ. I want to read that out of the Amplified. See to it that no one carries you off as spoil or makes you yourselves captives by his so-called philosophy and intellectualism and vain deceit, idle fancies, and plain nonsense. Following human tradition, men's ideas of the material rather than the spiritual world, just crude notions, following the rudiment and the elemental teachings of the universe and disregarding the teachings of Christ, the Messiah. Intellectuals. And that's kind of what's been trying to invade the church, and it brings something called mental assent. Mental assent will sit up and tell me that the Bible is true, yet not act on one word of it. That's mental assent, and its root is intellectualism. And there are spirits that are designed to keep you in the intellectual realm. And you got to realize that one of the things you do is you're going to have to hear that word and do it. I said, hear the word and do it. Now, I'm saying things that have come to try to snatch our faith or contaminate our faith or make it so that your faith won't work. Intellect puts man on the throne. Faith puts God on the throne. And you will see it every time, folks. The world loves, now, nothing against us, but they love to lift up people in front of you that have, that done some things. And I'm saying, how many people, Lord have mercy, I want to say this the right way. Over in Acts, they called Peter and them ignorant and unlearned. Why do they call them that? Because they weren't as perhaps eloquent as some of the folks who've been trained in the greatest schools of philosophy and elocution. Now, wait a minute. I'm saying I understand that, and that's fine. But it's interesting how the power was flowing through these people. Amen. Because of their faith. Amen. Now, I'm not putting this thing down. I'm only saying the enemy will try to get you to get an education and pump you up with that and make you put that out front rather than put Jesus out front and the power of the Word of God. And this system will allow you to do that because it's what it wants you to do. That's the way it's robbing your faith. Paul said, I count it all dung. You know what dung is. I ain't going to tell you what it is. You know what it is. For Christ. And he was a genius. Spoke just about all kinds of languages. Been trained under Gamaliel, the best of the Pharisee. Knew the word of God. Probably can quote that scripture from front to back without looking at it. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. But he had to do something with the intellect because it was trying to rob him of his faith. I am not saying set aside common sense, but I'm saying put it in its place. If it tries to override what God said in his word, or you're seeing no results, you need to come back and check something. Let me check and see, am I putting this over the word of God? Very important. Now, you got to watch it because folks accuse me. Well, you're trying to come against people who have advanced degrees. I know people who have advanced degrees that are using this thing like I don't know what. They're popping in the gospel. This thing is working for them. It's not that. It's just where you are putting it. And there people are trying to make themselves something. Remember, self came in with the fall. It says, I want to be recognized. Well, no, what we're trying to do is get them to recognize Jesus. We're trying to get them to come to him, not to come to us. Is this all right if I talk about this? That's what this scripture here is all about. And you will find that the enemy used that because he knew that the mystery of Christ can only be seen through the faith that you read that scripture with. That you got to take your faith and apply it to that scripture so you can see it. Amen. And he knew that you could not see it with just the intellect. Amen. And those Pharisees couldn't see it. But the common people heard him gladly. But they were lifted up in themselves. We got all the degrees and so forth. And the enemy has almost just invaded the seminaries. Oh my goodness. I mean, here we got a lot of things that we need to solve, but we need to solve them by using faith. And we're busy trying to, have 15 counseling sessions and so forth. 15, come in here and tell me what your problem is. I'll give you the word of God. I'll tell you exactly where it is in the word of God. Then I'm going to rebuke that devil that's out of you that's trying to drive your marriage or keep you from part. And then I'm going to tell you to get in the word of God, come into service and hear the word of God and integrate that into your life. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm not trying to minimize education. God knows I'm not trying to do that. But you can't get that as a substitute for faith. Faith comes one way. How? By hearing the word of God. I mean, you can't stop hearing the word of God. People think they've got too intellectual to come in and hear the word of God. The first thing they know is their minds and all the achievements now become their God. And you can tell it is because when they try to put it aside, they can't. So it robs your faith. It keeps you from receiving the things that God has for you. So that's one thing. All right? Let's go to another one. Let's go to Matthew's gospel. And Matthew, are you with me? Yeah. Boy, that was tough getting that out. That took, how long did that take? Okay. Now, are you see what I'm saying here? Sometimes I hate to tell folk the truth. And the reason, you know the whole truth, because the reason why I do, because somebody will misread it and get offended by it. And it's not designed to do that. It's designed that you go on and get those things. But education, understand the word education means to draw out. It's drawing out of you a gift that's already in you. It's designed to draw out of you. When you're pursuing your PhD and you're getting your concentration in a certain thing, you're doing research, and the research is designed to draw out of you something. But that doesn't mean don't come to church and hear the word of God. That doesn't mean don't get God involved in, hey, give me wisdom on this, Lord. Show me a new curriculum that I can teach people who have not gone to school, who have dropped out of high school and so forth. Give me a curriculum that I can clean off the tables in their minds and clean them off and pour new data in there and have them to come up. Five classes, in 6 months. Show me that, Lord. That's what it's for. That will distinguish you and let people see there's something different about your education than it is about my education. Now, what is this you got? You say, I got Jesus. That's who I got. He's the great educator. And let's say you go into another profession. It doesn't make any difference what it is. But just don't use the intellect by itself, because the intellect by itself will snatch your faith. All right, let's look at, where did I tell you to go? Are you with me? Y'all still love me? Matthew chapter, what did I tell you? 14, real quick. My goodness. Boy, that happened quick. Now, I got 7 o'clock. That's not true. Okay, let's see. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Maybe I overrode time here. Maybe time just went backwards on me. Then I got 2 more hours. Praise God. I'm going to get in this thing. All right. Now, we're clearing the way for your faith to work, because your faith is supposed to work. I said your faith is supposed to work. You have been born from above and designed to walk like God. You're designed to speak things and they come to pass. You know, let's just see. You go on that Bible and see how many things Jesus did with the spoken words. Now, let me ask you a question. You are aware, somebody in here is aware of an atomic bomb explosion. Am I right about it? You've heard of that before. Do you realize that words are more powerful than that? Just put that in your mind. They are so powerful, and you're the only one that can speak them. I have seen people on television, and this is what they say. This dog can talk. And they have this dog that says, "Say hello, Spot." And hello, you know, you can't tell what they're saying, but they go into this thing, "Say hello." Now I'm saying they're trying to make everything else talk. A parrot can talk, but he doesn't believe. He's mimicking. But you're the only one that can believe, come on, and speak. And God made it that way. And that's why I believe Satan or the serpent in the garden could speak. And God shut his mouth and split his tongue so he'll never say another word. But you are the only, think about it, I'm the only one as human that can speak. And that puts you in line with God's nature. Because for God to get light in, he's spoken in. When God get trees in, he's spoken in. When Jesus going to get the devil out, he spoke him out. When Jesus stopped the storm, which no man can stop, he spoke it out. Say amen. When Jesus called a man from the dead, he spoke it out. Say amen to that. And he's speaking trees, storms, dead people, sickness, disease, infirmity, come out in Jesus' name and say, and every time he spoke it, he believed what he said won't come to pass. The spoken word is more powerful than any medicine you can get, more powerful than any dynamite you can blow up, more powerful than any weapon, any laser, anything, more power, just the spoken word. And if you could develop your faith in your words, you could speak words and instantly see something come to pass. Say amen to that. Now, of course, these are words that are lined up with God's word, because you will never, Jesus said, "I always do what I see my Father do." He never spoke any word that the Father didn't say. Even when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" God said it. And he said it over in Psalm chapter 22. And because God said it, Jesus could say it. But if God didn't say that, Jesus was going to hang on that cross and not say a word. He only said it because God said it. Say amen to this. So only things should come out of your mouth is what God said. I know what the physician just said, but what did God say? I know what the teacher said about your grades, but what did God say? I know what they said about your marriage, but what did God say? I know what they said about your finances, but what did God say? I know what they said about your joy, but what did God say? I know what they said about your future, but what did God say? Everything, what did God say? And then you back up and believe what he said and speak it out of your mouth, and it will make a way for you in every situation. Are you following what I'm saying? Now we got to drive this home. We got to drive it, because there are forces out there trying to make you first not believe. And then if you do believe, it's trying to make you not speak. It's trying to put people around you that will look at you crazy if you said that. And if you're easily intimidated, you'll back away, drop your head, and walk away. But what you need to do is rise up in faith and boldly decree what God said. You follow what I'm saying? You say, what if it don't work? If it doesn't work the first time, keep saying it, because pretty soon it's going to catch on. It might take a little while, but it will catch on, because it is a law. That's how you're made. You resist the devil and he will what? Flee from you. The reason why he'll flee, because it's a law. He got to flee. Amen. You just walk around your place at work, you see something you don't like. The Bible says you are to plant the heavens. What God said in heaven and his word is forever settled in heaven. You take it, put it in your heart, and start speaking it at your job. This place is going to be a place of peace. God's going to be in this place by this time next Monday. We're going to have this and that. Say amen to this. And you don't need to be talking loud. You can speak a whisper and a demon will have to come out. If you know who you are. Y'all got me preaching here now. Faith-filled words dominate. All right, here's Jesus. Verse 22, Matthew chapter 14. Straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into ship and go before him to the other side while he sent away the multitudes. So the multitudes away. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. It was against him. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. What did I tell you? I tell you that whenever you're moving forward for God, you got a battle ahead of you. Because the devil sees you, and because he's got everybody else contained, and he can see when you just moved out from behind the fence. Verse 26. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were what? Troubled, saying it was a spirit, and they cried out for fear. Now, why were they troubled with this man coming to him walking on the sea? Because intellectually, it didn't make sense. Am I right about it? Verse 27. But straightway, Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Let me preach this now. It is I. No, I'm just kidding. Praise the Lord. Go ahead, sister. Praise the Lord. Preach it. Hallelujah. Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. No, you into it, sister. Go ahead. You let it out. Hallelujah. If it's in you, it'll come out. I said, if it's in you, it will come out. But Peter answered, said to him, Lord, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. See what that fear will do? It'll block your way to discernment. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me, not us, because they probably don't want to go anywhere. Bid me. Come on now. You can hang with folks that they don't want to go anywhere. Say amen. And you got to go by yourself. The Bible says in Isaiah 51, God called Abraham alone. Look what it says here. And first it answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come to you on the water. And he said, what? Come. Praise God. Just one word from God. Look how powerful that one word was. Come. Glory to God. Come, I said. And that's more than a word. I believe come is a authority that God gives you to speak to make things come to you. I'm getting a revelation out of that right now. I said, money, come right now in Jesus' name. There is something in this come right here. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was what? afraid, and beginning to do what? Sink. He cried, saying, what? Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said to him, O thou of what? Little faith, wherefore did you doubt? Now, I used to think that was little faith, meaning that he had great faith, had little faith, and so forth. But that is a translation. Little faith means you had a little burst of faith. A burst of faith. And see, you can start out in faith, then the devil attack your faith. And then you jump back over in the natural mind, and the natural mind is not sufficient to keep you in the miracle. That miracle that you got going for you right now, it needs you to stay in faith. I said, it needs you to stay in faith. So notice what he said, the word I want you to key in on, wherefore did you, what? Doubt. So doubt will take the power out of your faith, and the miracle that you're looking for will be cut off. So you gotta not let the enemy come and bring doubt in your life at all. Let's go to one more. That's Mark chapter 2, please. Mark chapter 6. Glory to God. Jesus spoke words. He said, whatever you demand in my name, I'll do it. John chapter 14, verse 13. Whatever you demand, whatever you command in my name, whatever you speak in my name, I'll do that. So notice these are words now. The man that was sitting by the temple beautiful in Acts chapter 3, he spoke words to him. He said, rise. He said, you know, rise up and walk in the name of Jesus. And the man jumped up and walked. Oh, the man sitting by the pool of Bethesda in John chapter 5. Jesus said, you know, what are you doing here? He said, well, no man's here to make me whole. He said, rise, take up your bed and walk. Notice words made him walk. So the Bible says in Hebrews 4:14, he said, once you make a confession, hold fast to the confession of your faith. Say amen to that. Amen. And look what it says in Mark chapter, have you got chapter 6? Look at verse 1. He says, and went forth out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence has this man these things? And what wisdom is this that has been given to him, that even such mighty works are wrought through his hands? And you'll see wisdom and works go hand in hand. Verse 3, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary? Notice what they're doing intellectually. They're reasoning now, trying to figure out a reason why this man shouldn't be doing this. And the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon, are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kinfolk and in his own house. And he could there do no what? Mighty works, save that he laid his hands on how many? A few sick folk and what? And healed them. One translation says, people with minor ailments like a headache or something like that. And he marveled because of their unbelief, underlying unbelief, and went around about these villages doing what? Teaching. What do you do when unbelief is there? You start teaching, not preaching. They need teaching. Why? Because teaching brings understanding, and understanding brings confidence. Say amen to that. Amen. So notice the doubt came in when Peter was walking on the water. The unbelief came in. Notice what it did. It stopped the miracles of God. And let me just show you one more place here. Let's go to Isaiah 43, please. Isaiah 43. Glory to God. Isaiah 43. These things are designed, and like I said, the enemy comes in to bring these things to cut you off from your faith in working in your inheritance. Isaiah chapter 43. And look what it says here in verse 25. I, even I, am he that blotteth out your what? Transgression. Keep going for my own sake. And I will not what? Remember your sins. So notice what God is saying. He's saying, I'm not going to remember your sins. The Bible says in the Message translation, but I am the one who takes care of your sins. That's what I do.
Boy,
I like that. That's what I do. I take care of sins. That's what I do. So the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if you confess your sin, keep going. He's faithful and just. Keep going. To forgive you your sins and what? And cleanse you of what? What? All righteousness. So after confession is made, don't ever refer to that again. It is not past history. It is purged. And not ever remembered by God. And if he forgot it, you forget it. If you don't forget it, it will affect you. Turn to Isaiah chapter 32 and let's see how it will affect you. Let me know when you get to Isaiah chapter 32 with your smart self. You ready for it? Verse 17, and the work of righteousness shall be what? Peace. And the effect of righteousness, quietness and what? Assurance forever. See, when you are not walking in righteousness, but are reminded all the way of your past, your sins, and unrighteousness comes in, there is no peace and also no confidence or assurance in God's word. You cannot have faith in God's word and walk in your past. One of them's got to go. I said, one of them's got to go. You will find the more righteousness rises up in you and you see yourself as God has made you through the blood of Jesus, you will see that your faith will, even without your being aware of it, rise to new levels. He said, I won't remember your sins anymore. So if you confess that thing that you've done and you confess it based on the word of God, God is obligated to forget it. And if he forgets it, there's only one that's going to bring it back up to you. And that's the accuser of the brethren. And what is he after? He's after your faith. Because you about to move out and get what God. I said, that husband is coming to us. I said, Lord, have mercy. Last place, Revelation chapter 12, please. I'm preaching tonight. I'm telling you, see, sin consciousness will keep you working for it. I said, it's sin consciousness will keep you working for it. And once you get out of sin consciousness, get over into righteousness, your works will go out. You'll find that, hey, it's right. You deserve this. Come on now, you deserve. You may not be the best looking person around. Maybe a little overweight, you know, hair need done, everything. But this man just looking at you, just love you. I'm talking about a Boaz. I ain't talking about nobody just off the street. I'm talking about a, come on. I'm preaching now. I'm talking about a Boaz. I'm talking about somebody got something, man. You got rights to believe for somebody that's got something, especially if you ain't got nothing. Come on, I'm talking about faith now. Can I talk about that? You deserve the very best. Man, just love you and you don't know why. I know why. God put Cupid in his heart. Cupid. Come on, Wayne, you got me. Wayne got me singing up here now. All right. Okay, look what it says here. Look at verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Now watch it, because the thief cometh not but for to what? Steal, come on, kill, and to destroy. Now I understand that the devil is busy, but you don't need to say that, because then you give him license to be busy on you. So don't be giving the devil place. Don't be mentioning his name in every sentence that you mention. Cut him out of your conversation and deal only with the word of. He was cast out into the earth and the angels were cast out with him.
And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is what? Cast down. Which accused them before God, our God, how long? Day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Even in the face of death, they were not fearful because they knew they weren't going to die. He just told you, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand. See, and if you look at that scripture through eyes of unrighteousness, you say, well, I got to go, but I'm going to confess him on the way down. No, you don't have to go. The idea is make him go. You don't go. Give the Lord a praise. That's all we got for it. All right. Did you get something out of that tonight? Praise God. All right, if you're here and you know that in your life you're not right with God, meaning that you need to be born again, this is the right place for you. This is the right time as well. So I'd like to pray for you if you're here.